Hello?
Hi there. Is it possible if I can please speak to a Mrs. Lisa Tarbitt, please?
Speaking, I'm actually Lisa Parks. Tarbitt's my maiden name.
No problem. Let me just get that changed. Is it Park, my brother P-A-R-K? Graham?
Yeah, was it my brother
Graham?
Yeah, so Graham...
passed on Graham's passed me your number forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I did just assume it was Tarbitt, to be honest with you. I didn't even ask him for your surname, so I do apologise. But Tarbitt's your maiden name, is that correct?
Yeah. I've been a widow since 27, I'm now 51 here, and I kept my married name.
No problem. And is your married name Park? Is that P-A-R-K?
Yeah. So my full name's Perfect. Lisa Jane Park.
James, J-A-M-E-X?
No, Jane. J-A-N.
Oh, Jane, sorry.
Yeah. J-A-N-E.
Perfect, Lisa. Perfect.
Lisa Jane
Can I
Park.
Ask you what's the best email for you, please, Lisa?
It's all lowercase. Lisa Marks.
Could you spell that for me? Your surname? Just to make sure I've got it correctly.
No, it's L-I-S-A-M-A-X. Lisa Marks.
Yep.
520@gmail.com.
Perfect, no problem there whatsoever. And could I please ask you for your date of birth, please, darling?
7/8/74.
And could I please also ask you for your current postcode where you're living at the moment, please?
Yeah, Delta Delta 3,
yeah.
8 Alpha Hotel.
Perfect. And what's the door number?
50, one up right. /R.
/R. Perfect. No problem. Now, before I go any further, I just want to explain to you the same way that I did with your brother. I do appreciate you giving me the time of day today and explaining to me what you've had to deal with. Most importantly, uh-huh. We do not require for you to go and get evidence and prove that this has happened to you, because we understand that's obviously too much of an ask. And most importantly, we do that by locating your files anyway. We will be able to locate all of your documents.
Uh-huh.
Now, we understand
yeah.
They've probably not noted the abuse that they've done to you on your documents whatsoever, but they've already been fined for it because the government have been the ones to do the neglect. So as long as we just get a brief statement from you, that will be enough mm-hmm. information of what we require. Now, yeah. Each claim is different. It's not the case of us clutching at straws and hoping to have you something back. You will be reimbursed, but it would be wrong for me to give you a direct value.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that anyway. I wouldn't expect
well,
it in terms of valuation straight away.
Which is understandable, but we can give you a time frame. The time frame, unless you have been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses, the time frame will be anything from 8 to 12 months. But
yeah.
If you have been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses, we can fast track it to 6 months for you. Most importantly, we can tell you that the average claim will average at $48,000, just so you've got something to look forward to. But, of
mm-hmm.
course, you can be looking at a lot more than that. I will guide you through the full process. And also, I will bob you a message on WhatsApp after this call, just so that way, if you want to track your claim at any time, or if you want to have a conversation, or if there's anything you want to update me on, you've got direct contact for me there
yeah.
moving forward, darling. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Now, what I want to just check with you, I'm assuming a lot of these questions, I can answer them for you, I'm hoping, because, of course, my previous conversation with your brother. So, if I am correct, I believe your mum was called Helen Mundy Tarbitt, is that correct?
Yeah.
Mundy. And David Tarbitt was dad?
Are you writing Mundy? It's Lundy.
I've got Mundy, is it M-U-N-D-E-E? Oh, Lundy,
no.
Let me get that changed over.
It's L-U-N-D-I-E, Lundy.
D-I-E, let me get that
yeah.
changed. And I will get that changed onto his file for you. Thank you for that. And dad is David Tarbitt, is that correct?
Yeah.
No
they're,
problem.
They're both
now, he also
away.
Made me a... No, that's no issue. It's just that basically when we locate your file...
Yeah.
With us having your siblings' names and things like that, we can say, right, that is 100% her, that's her file. That would just help us appoint every account.
Uh-huh,
now, he did also make me aware...
We weren't together in care. We were all...
He did explain
there was five
that.
Of us.
Separated.
And we were all separated and stuff. There was only myself and my brother
the
Tommy
well.
Who grew up together. We were I was 6 till I was 15. He was 7 till he was 18. He stayed in the home. I left when I was 15.
And that's not hot. That separated the siblings as well.
Was in. Before that, I was in 11 different institutions by the time I was 6. Between Mother's Day, Woman's Aid, hostels, shelters, these sort of things, you know.
Bless you. What he did also make me aware of, it may be different for you, because I do, plus you're a little bit younger than him, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, he's 57.
A little bit younger than Graham.
This next week, and I'm 51.
He made me aware that he grew up in Dunmore Street in Kipton previously to going into care. Would that be the same for yourself?
That was my last known address before I went into care, yeah, yeah.
Perfect. And I'm assuming it's Kipton local authority that popped you into care then?
Well, Dundee, it would just be the Dundee social work. They didn't actually have specific areas, I don't think, back then. I think now it would maybe broke up into sections, but I think back in the days, which was the late 70s, early 80s, I think it was more a case of just Dundee instead of actually Kirtan.
Just Dundee?
Yeah, and that's
thank
what
you
I would
for that.
Say
let me just
anyway,
get that on here.
To the best of my knowledge, anyway.
No problem. It's the best of you possibly can be, and I thank you for that, because I understand it's quite hard to go back into this kind of topic of conversation
yeah, see,
as well.
The home I was
what
in
I am
well,
going
to
do if...
The home I was in as well was actually charity-based. They fully functioned on charity-based donations and things like that. I eventually went kaput, and wage was there about 17, 18. It started going out of pot, the home started closing down and everything, you know. It was a new boss that took over, and he took over, it just went downhill basically. It ceased becoming a children's home, you know.
And could I ask you, when you said earlier, the first time you were sent into care, you was around 6 years old, is that correct, darling?
No, that wasn't the first time, because, like I say, I was in different places before that, when I was just a toddler and things, because I was in a home in Perth called Nemo Place. I was in a place called Rannoch Moor. I was in another place called Duncan Place. They're all homes. Kind of were removed to parents' care, obviously, at the time.
And what would I say, what would you say it would be the age where you remember being sent into care? What age would you remember?
See, I remember being in Nemo Place. I remember coming to start school there, because I actually still remember the weird smell of the school. And I was only something like 5, but I still remember this strange smell of the school, you know.
No problem.
Stuck in my head.
So the first place that you remember being in, the first place you remember, can I ask you what was that called?
Duncan Place, Rannoch Moor, or Nemo Place, but the first actually, I didn't remember getting put there, I remember being there, just kind of got one memory of being in each place. Can
no problem, so the first one you
out.
Remember was Duncan Place, is that correct?
It's one of those, I kind of really remember.
No problem.
When I actually got took off my parents for the last time, when my mum had buggered off down to London, we'd actually been put into a place called Burnside, which was a detention centre, which was like a stopgap before you went to a permanent. Before you went to a permanent place.
So what I just need to do,
for about 8 months.
Just to make sure I've got everything on here for you correctly, I just need to make sure that we've got every memory for you, so I understand. So what I'm going to do here is that you've got some memories of being in and out different care homes from being very young. From being very young. Let me get that here. From being very young. Where would you say was the first place you went where you started to notice abuse and you started to feel neglected and things like that? Where would you be?
It would be in Runside.
Remember Runside?
Remember a couple of staff members. But I didn't receive abuse. I was only 6. It was against other
Okay, you may not have received it, but you may have seen it with children. So yeah. Remembers Runside just for the first... How old was you? So you're 6 years old at Runside.
Yes. Yeah.
6 years old. And how long would you say you was here for, roughly?
I was there for about 8 months because I turned seven. And I went to Carolina House.
Carolina House,
used to be called. I was there when I turned seven.
What area was Carolina House in, do you remember?
It was on Broughty Ferry Road.
Broughty Ferry Road. No problem. And how long would you say that you was in the care of Runside?
I was in Burnside.
How long?
Carolina. I was in there 8 years, 2 weeks, 2 days.
For eight, wow, that's a long time. 8 years, 2 weeks, and 2 days. She remembers this exactly. And then after the Runside, is that when you were then taken to Burnside, was that?
No, from Burnside to Carolina, yeah.
So you went from Burnside, and then you went to Carlina. And is that where Carlina, is that where you finished off there, or did you go somewhere else from there?
No, when I was 15, I went to a place, I'm not sure if you're aware, but it used to be called Mainstay. It was short-term fostering. It lasted 2 years maximum. You know, you had your place for 2 years.
The short-term fostering lasted 2 years.
Yeah, it's called Mainstay. That would be in the files, eh? I didn't know how long Mainstay actually lasted. It didn't last too long, I don't think. Maybe 5-10 years or something.
And was that the last place that you was under care before you was left to go on your own then?
Yeah, because social work had parental rights till I was 18, and I left Carolina at 15, and then stayed with the family for 18 months, and then we had a falling out, and then from there, I went back to Carolina, says, look, I'm kind of stay with them, because I was still going to an outreach group. The Dunna group for ex-residents that could go back and get help if they need help with forums, things like that, general advice and things. They were always there, eh? They had Dunna group twice a week. And so Ed went back to them and says, look, we've had a falling out. I wasn't able to go at my work. That's what it was, the reason we fell out. And because I'd went to my dad's and not to my work, the woman... the mother figure, she wasn't happy because she knew my boss and things. She was very good friends with my boss because she'd seen her on a daily basis through the work that she done. So she was in, because it was actually a post office, travel agent / post office. I was working in the travel agency side. She knew the postmaster and his wife, kind of run the two businesses together in the same, like, office. I got accused of stealing, so I left the work, and then because I didn't want to go back, she was sort of up in arms about it. She was being quite nasty, I felt, at being 17. I just felt I was treated unfairly, and so I went to them and says, look, I can't stay there any longer. They've got us a flat within a week. And I moved into one of their supported accommodations that they provided.
Sorry to hear that. Fantastic. So what I'm getting down here for you at this moment in time is I'm just going onto your statement at the moment for you, which the reason I've gone through it and where you was step by step is just to help me understand everything you've dealt with in each of these care homes, just so I can make sure I get as much detail as possible for your case.
Uh-huh. Yeah, understand that. You need as much as you possibly can understand that.
So I put here that her first memories was her and her siblings come from a broken home. The parents, of course, was in different situations. She was placed in and out of care before the age of six. She was placed in around seven different homes, which she is very hard to remember. She has vivid memories of certain places where she was, but her main memories start at the age of around five, between five and the age of six, and she first remembers being placed in a place called Burnside. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds perfect, yeah.
Where she was placed in Burnside for, and I believe you said earlier that you was in Burnside for around 8 months, so you was around 7 years of age, is that correct?
Yeah.
Around 8 months. for about 8 months. And this is where... And can I ask you, while she was at Burnside, what was your first memory, darling?
My first memory is being in Burnside.
Do you ever remember getting there and anyone comforting you at all?
I don't remember being comforted. I just remember them having to dish out clothes. Everybody wore the same clothes, Wrangler jeans, these T-shirts that had a name on them, which I can't remember at this moment in time, but let us say everybody wore the same pants, same socks, same jeans, same jumper, same T-shirts. Kind of like a uniform type thing they gave out to everybody. So everybody was dressed the same, maybe in different colours or whatever, but the same clothes on, you know what I mean? So everybody was on an even playing field, if you know what I mean. Then nobody had better clothes than somebody else, you know. But that was in the junior unit, because it was separated into junior, senior, PA1, PA2, four different units, Kent, depending on your age. And me and my brother Tommy, who's just a year older than me, me and him grew up together until I was 15, until I left Carolina House, you know. And my other brother Derek was in senior unit. I can't remember where Chunky was, but he was there as well. I didn't get to see him often. I got to see Derek now and again through an office that was separating the two units. We got to see one another, like, in the office, just briefly to say hi and stuff. And that was it. Hey, we weren't allowed to keep in contact on a proper, regular basis, you know. Just if we seen him by chance, kind of get to speak to him. But they kept the secretary.
Do you remember any staff members' names from Burnside at all?
Yeah, I remember a Mr. Carr. The reason I remember him is because he wore, like, Pringle-type jumpers with, like, dress suit trousers-type thing. And he always had this long bunch of keys that he'd swing about and hit people weird, they were being cheeky or whatever. He'd kind of bat them over the head with that. Never happened to me, because I was always just a little quiet thing. You know, I wasn't in any bother, I didn't start fights or anything like that, whether members, you know. It was all the older children that would be getting, hit with keys, took into rooms, thumped about in rooms. Did hear a lot of that going on, kind of somebody had been mischievous, maybe in the living room, the TV room or whatever, they'd get took into the room and a couple of them would go in and they'd be in there the rest of the day because they'd maybe been slapped about or whatever, kind of, you wouldn't see them till later on. Maybe at meal times, they would come down at meal times. And there was another... Mr. Burns as well, big fat thing he was. He threw his weight about a lot. There was also another one called Mr. Adams. Now, only found this out later. Didn't happen to me, but used to take us on walks, because where Burnside is, it's like on the very outskirts of the area. It was like farmland and things at the back of that, you know, fields and stuff. But at the side of it, walked to the end of the home, the grounds of the home, and went into this wee cut, and it took you through these woods, and we'd go like looking for leaves and acorns, things like that. But seemingly, it's found out, let's say later on, he was abusing kids when he was taking them out for walks. They didn't go all the time with them, but he'd maybe only take one or two kids, and seemingly he was touching them and everything, but let's say I didn't find that out till later, because it didn't happen to me, you know. But he was doing it with other kids. He was an ex-army soldier. He had a hole in his leg, and he'd always tell the kids that he'd got it in the war and things like that, Ken, just to, like, get them interested in him, like he was sort of grooming them, if you know what I mean. Looking back now, that's what he was doing, you know, and I'm able to recognise it now. He was actually grooming the kids, this Mr. Adams. Just remember, he had a thick moustache, quite a tall guy, quite thick hair, grey sort of curly hair, like wavy type hair, eh? And he, like it says, he would tell the kids he was ex-army and he had war wounds, and that was one of his stories, you know, to get the kids to come and sit on his knee and want to see his legs, you know, that sort of thing.
Whilst you was here, did they ever, what would you say would be the worst treatment that you've had in regards to punishments or anything? Did you ever get hit in any way, shape or form? Was you ever locked in your bedroom away from the other children? Was you ever sent to bed hungry? Or was you a wet the bed and they would leave you in your wet clothes? Is there any other memories from this place you would like me to get jotted down here for you, darling?
Nothing I could think of. No, no.
Okay. Don't worry.
No. Because, like I say, I was only 6, eh, so I sort of listened to the grown-ups, you know. I'd already been abused by the time I got there. I'd already been abused several times before I got to Burnside, through neighbours and babysitters and strangers. I was out playing one day and was caught with 2 or 3 men and was abused. Now I was just out playing. But that didn't happen in care. That was when I was at home. So it was a bit of due to neglect as well on my mum and dad's part.
You get that on there. Most definitely. And then, of course, when you went then from, you then moved on, let me just have a look here. So you moved on from Burnside, and then you was then placed in Carleen.
Carolina.
It's
got an A on the
Carolina.
End.
So
yeah.
Let me get that on there then for you. No, it was not. She was then placed in Carolina House in Broughty Ferry Road, and she stayed here for exactly. And it was two weeks and 2 days.
Yeah, 2 weeks, yeah, 2 days.
Until she was 15. Until she was 15. Let me just get that on here for you. No problem, until 15 years old. And when you got there, was she settled in at all?
Yeah. Although that was strange because I moved into the then dorms from a modern building that Burnside was to an old-fashioned building that had a cook that cooked for the whole home, about 30 kids, including plus staff. And so it was a big kitchen they had, you know, like an industrial-sized kitchen with all the big equipment and everything. Yeah. So everybody was given the same meals, you know, on trolleys to go to the respective units, you know, dining rooms to be fed. But I didn't get abused by staff in there, it was other kids.
And can I ask you, what did you experience here?
In there when I was, must have been either nearly 8 or 8, between like late, just before 8 and then just after 8, in that sort of time period, Ken, 7, 8, 9 period, I just didn't remember exactly, but the first one was, it was one of the kids, I was in a place that I wasn't even meant to be, I was along in a different unit from my own unit, I'd went to Ogilvie House, because I had 3 units that were called Scott House, which was the young ones. Ogilvie was the middle age, and then the oldest ones were in a place called Barry House, kind of had the 3 separate names. And it was a guy from the Ogilvy House staff were too busy in meetings, leaving us to our own devices. We're sitting watching TV with quilts and things, and then I'm getting touched up by the older term. But see, because I've been abused when I was younger by three different people, well, three incidences that I remember about, it seems normal to me.
Previously.
You know, I some of, I didn't report it to staff because I didn't see anything wrong because it happened before, you know. That's what you do. You play under quilts and things and again, and looking back, I know it was totally wrong now and stuff. But essentially neglecting us, going into meetings, you should have left somebody to still look after them, but they didn't. They were all in meetings together. They left us to our own advices for like an hour at a time and maybe 2 hours at a time, and so they thought we were safe just leaving us sitting watching the telly, but then units of kids are mixing with the other units. That wasn't allowed. So that then became, because they were away, they didn't know what was happening, you know. They didn't have eyes on to keep an eye on the kids.
And did any of the staff members there, if you was naughty, or how would they punish you? Did they ever use a bell or anything like that? Or did they ever use a sand shield or anything for any sort of punishment?
No, what happened was, right, there was an incident where my whole unit ran away. We all decided to run away one night and we went into two separate groups. My brother Tommy took a group of kids up to my gran's house in Midcraigie, an area called Midcraigie. He'd went up there with three or four kids and Ev went a different direction, we two older guys. And then when we came back, the boss would manage to climb back in a window, got back into our beds, and then when the boss came in, he just threw back the quilts. We could have been naked or anything, but he threw back the quilts, and we were told to stand up, and whether we were dressed or no. And I can't even remember what he'd done after that. I just remember him, because he used to go pure bright red in the face. He had, like, white, curly hair. And he was older, like, and his face went bright red. And I didn't remember what happened after that. But I don't ever remember being hit or anything like that in there. I wasn't hit or anything. No, me personally, anyway. I didn't know about any of the other kids, but personally, I didn't get belted or anything like that. That only happened at home when I bit wet the bed, I got a slipper. Because I used to wet the bed. I wet the bed up until I was 16. And I don't know if it was due to...
And did they do anything to you when you would wet your bed in the care home? Did they make you stay in the same bedding with it being wet off, wear the same pyjamas or anything like that?
I can't remember. Because I wet the bed every night, I can't remember. They've started getting into trouble and then maybe they've stopped getting us into trouble initially. I don't know. I can't remember. I just know that I was wet the bed until I was 16. Nearly 17. I got my first electric blanket when I stayed with that family. It was a wee goal I worked towards, you know. But when I was 17, they got us an electric blanket because they all had one. And so they knew I would want one, obviously. And like I say, I earned it. But I had to go through a lot. Hospital points. I had to stay in hospital just to learn how to put this liquid up my nose.
Okay.
And things like that. But they were good apart from just slight neglect at times. They'd leave me for too long and then that's when the other kids had got up to mischief and then we'd obviously get involved because we were young and impressionable. So you follow along with the older kids, you know, you want to stay again speaking to the older kids, you didn't want them calling you for all names or whatever if you didn't get involved with what they're doing, you know what I mean? Peer pressure. That's the word for it, peer pressure. And then later on, wasn't it? It was like maybe a year or so, and then it was abused by an older. I remember the name of the guy who had first done it. We were actually after he touched me up under the quilt, he took me a dinner. It wasn't at the exact same time. It was maybe sometime later. He ended up taking me to an outbuilding outside. The staff was looking for us, and he was having sex with us, but I thought that was normal. Although we were away hiding, I knew there was something not quite right, but I still done it, if you know what I mean. Because, let's say, because I was abused so young, when anything like that happened, I thought that was a sign of affection. You know, that was my mentality. I didn't see it as being wrong. I knew it obviously wasn't right.
You knew it wasn't correct, but you didn't know what...
Yeah.
Do not worry, that's enough information. Do not understand. Worry about that.
His name was a Chris. Oh, can't remember his second name. I could see his picture too, because I seen him years later when I was 21 on a bus. He denied it to my face. And so I punched him. I'm no violent person, eh? But I punched him square in the face on the bus in front of everybody.
I would have done the exact same thing.
And the whole bus was all, I'd say something. Look, he abused me as a bairn and he's done it. And it kind of was saying it out loud, so the whole bus heard us. And everybody was, like, looking at him, calling him names and everything. I was supposed to go off the bus at the same stop as him, because seemingly we lived quite close to one another. I didn't realise either. We were to go up at the same stop, but I stayed on the bus to the next stop and walked back to my house, you know. But I'd done that, because he denied it. Again, being older.
That is horrible.
And I thought, denying it to my face. And that's how a pure punched him square in the face. And like I say, I've never done that to nobody in my life, eh? Violence is the furthest, that's the only bone I've now got in my body, is a violent bone.
Even speaking to you, I can tell that you're not that sort of person. Most definitely.
I hate confrontation at any type, eh? I hate it. To be attacked in later life as an adult, actually just a few years ago, and I'm now going to watch, still watching my back for that girl who attacked us in the centre of town. She's still going about, she still goes about, and she still speaks to my brother and knows what's went on, and like, she doesn't threaten him, she's trying to speak to him, she's trying to invite him to her wedding in March. As if he's going to go to our wedding.
Trying to be all nice to one and not to the other. Yeah. No, she's trying to manipulate him and trying to get at you. That's what she'll be trying to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Sucking up to him to get to me. That's basically what it is. So he goes along with it. He'll speak to him.
You know what? Brothers and sisters will always stick together. Most definitely. They always will.
Yep.
And that's the most important thing. Family's the most important thing ever, and that's at least you know you've still got your siblings. And I can reassure you if there's anything, I understand I'm asking you to go into a lot of information right now, but if there's anything you forget to mention to me, you can always bob me a message on WhatsApp and I can include that on your case at any time, so do not worry. Can I just ask you, after the time where
could I mention before we leave that section, can I mention the name of the guy who then abused me in the home after the Chris guy done it? He was older. He was over 16.
Was that in the same place? Was that in Caroline?
Was that in Caroline? Yeah. Yeah. And his name was Steve.
Was he the one that took you to the outhouse?
No, that was Chris. I think his name was Chris White. Chris White, I think, was his name. Chris White. Was his name, and he was about...
And there's someone I called Stephen.
Yeah, say I was 8, Chris must have been about 12, 13. But then, this Stephen, I must have only been 9 or so. and he was 16, 17. So he knew exactly what he was doing, me being a lot younger. He took us to his room and made me touch his thing and things like that. And the staff actually looked at us. Even when I was in that outbuilding, the staff were there. They were in that building looking for us. They just didn't look in the room we were in. We were on a toilet, tiled floor. A toilet didn't even get used because, like I say, it's an outbuilding, so it didn't even get used. Cold floor. And the staff passed, and he held my mouth so I couldn't call out for the staff. You know, he put his hand over my mouth. So he would have got caught for that at the time had he got to speak. But, like I say, held my mouth shut and told us not to tell anybody. It was our secret, blah, blah, blah. And then that Stephen one, Stephen Conbury, his name was
C-O-N-B-E-R-Y,
I think. And he was a bit older. He had other siblings in there as well. Sister called Edith. A couple other brothers there as well. The whole family were there. Because my oldest brother, David, who's a year older than Graham, he was in Caroline at one point, but he was in a different unit for us. And I didn't even know him, my own brother, because we hadn't grew up together. I knew he was my brother, but I didn't know him. So when we
if
I seen him, if he was maybe playing football or playing with his friends or whatever, he'd say hiya. But he wouldn't have come over and want to speak or anything like that because he didn't know us either. Me and my brother Tommy, you know. So it was a kind of weird relationship. They should have let us see one another more often. So I suppose that's just a bit obvious in a way too, not letting us see our own siblings, you know, in the same place that we live in.
Definitely, and they're the only people that you feel like you can trust to confide in and get it off your shoulders and just see if it is normal, the things that was happening to you, and to see if you could get any help. And that's not acceptable whatsoever. When you was then placed from Carolina House and you was then placed into the mainstay fostering, can I ask you, what was it like when you was there?
When I was in the mainstay, or when I was in Carolina, before I left Carolina, you're saying?
Yeah, so when you was at Carolina, I've got the information from while you was there. When you left Carolina, you was then placed into the care of, like, foster care, wasn't you, where you said it was called, was it short stay term fostering?
Yeah, mainstay, yeah.
And then I was placed in mainstay short-term fostering. That lasted for around 2 years.
Months it lasted.
18 months.
Maximums. I've just got over the flu. I've got a really chesty cough right now.
Bless you. As the social worker's had Pereira rights till she was 18. And while she was in the foster care, did anything happen to you here?
No, not at all. No.
Well,
we were a good family. They actually wanted to keep me after the 2 years. They were going to be buying another house that had a granny flat in it, and they were going to give the granny flat to me so I could be independent and do independent living. But because communications broke down at that 18-month point about the work situation, and I managed to get a flat so easy, I was out of there straight away. You know, the argument didn't hate to keep for very long. It only kept for a week. Because I went to Carolina and I says, look, I need a place to stay. And they says, well, we've got this. We could hear you in next week. So I went home like, I'm leaving here. I'll be out here by the end of the week sort of thing. So I've got to pack up my stuff. So, and they didn't even try and talk us out of it or nothing. They just let us go. So I kind of felt a bit bad about that because I thought you cared about, thought you wanted us to stay. You've made any effort to you know, speak to us about things and hear proper conversation, you know, because I was the first young person they'd taken on to do this. So it was all new to them as well. So I don't know if that was one of the reasons that they didn't try and stop us, can try and talk us out of wanting to leave or anything, because they didn't know their self, you know.
And people knew then that it's better to stay quiet than to speak up, because they would see how things would happen to the elder children, and they'd see what would happen to their other siblings and things like that. So sometimes it's better to just stay quiet, because they're getting passed from one care home where they're being neglected to another where they're being neglected, and they know it's an ongoing cycle. So some people get comfortable where they are and feel like they have to deal with it, and that's not actually the case. I'm so sorry you have had to deal with this. What I'm going to do for you is I'm going to get this case submitted off for you right now. Now, I just want to ask you, over time, just speaking to you, I can tell that this has affected you very badly.
But
assuming you have anxiety and things like that.
My whole life, babe. Even the way in my adult relationships, like I lost my children myself. They ended up on drugs and things, and I've been an addict most of my adult life. I'm clean now. I'm actually just came off the injection. Finally, I came off the injection a few weeks ago. I'm fine. I just walked away, didn't get weaned off or nothing. But you know what the drug problem clinic sent us? I was supposed to get a phone call, right, to say I'd been discharged. Can't speak to an actual doctor to make sure I'm okay. They sent us a letter just saying, please find enclosed useful information. They've sent us leaflets on methadone, coke, buprenorphine, anything that I would possibly go back to. Why send us forms when I'm wanting to walk away completely and they're sending me stuff on using again? Does that make sense?
No, it's not fair that doesn't make sense.
So nobody's even spoke to us about discharges or
whatsoever, nothing. To even know what you're dealing with. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just been pure.
And even now, you've got not getting the right support.
No, it's disgusting. The treatment I've had for them. I thought they would at least want to see us just to make sure I was generally healthy enough to come off it as well. You know what could affect me?
Definitely, and also check up on your
stuff
to see how you are getting on because of that.
I was on it over 4 years. And I've just basically walked away for quite a high dose. You know what I mean? And I should have seen a doctor at least just to fully explain what could potentially happen and things like that and what I would do in these situations if it did present.
You definitely need some sort of help.
Yeah, just sort of threw us to the side and looks like that's it done now. I'm not getting my phone call to be a professional or nothing. It was just a word that
I
told.
I know I am no doctor or anything, but if there is anything that I can help you with, or even if you just want to get things off your chest at any time, I am more than happy to have a conversation with you at any time of day. Do not worry about bobbing me a message over. As soon as I've got 5 minutes, I can give you a call, even if it's just seeing how your weekend's been or just seeing how your week's been this week. If there's anything I could do to make your life a little bit easier just whilst you are getting back to your normal self, or
you know what I've done,
trying to get your life back on track.
I got myself a puppy 2 weeks ago, a new French bulldog.
She's a little
black Frenchie. She's only 10 weeks
she
old, 10 weeks yesterday, or she's chewing everything. So I've come off
the dump. Yeah, my
colleague's
got a French bulldog as well.
And all my concentration's now on her. Now, I've not had kids for years, so it's like going back to the beginning again. I'm 51 now, so...
Well, this is a new start for you.
Exactly.
This is a new start for you. You've got something there with some responsibility. Even so, even if it gets to that point where you don't feel like getting out of your house sometimes, you know now that you've got a dog that needs to get out. So getting out for that 10, 15 minutes in the morning or in the afternoon will make you feel a lot better than what you actually think as well. And like I say, even if you are on the walk and you're feeling a bit nervous or anything like that, you can always give me a call on WhatsApp and I can have a quick conversation with you just to keep your mind at ease whilst you are out on that dog walk as well. So do not worry, because we are here to guide you through the whole process, okay?
I've got a good
cousin. No problem whatsoever.
just like a sister to me, eh? We talk about everything. We're on the phone for hours every day, almost.
Well, that's what I need, to be honest with you. I do need somebody, if anything was to happen to you over the next few months whilst this claim's going through, is there anybody that you would be happy to receive the payment on your behalf? Is that your cousin?
Well, I've got life insurance and I've not filled out, I've had it for a year since I was 50, I'm 51 and a half. I took it out the day after I was 50, we brought a senior, so I've been paying that every month, so I've not even wrote on that who I want the money to go to or anything, my next of kin or anything. I've still got to do that paperwork, I need to take it in my lawyers actually, but it being Christmas period and things like that, no had a chance to get it done. But I'm going to
who
take
is it that you would like me to put down for you?
I would see, I've got two daughters. Well, I've got a daughter, I had two daughters. One of them's now a man that I've not seen since she was five. She's now 22. Well, he's 22 now. It was Katie and she's now Charlie, a guy. Never seen her since she was five. And I've got a 31-year-old daughter. She's got two grandkids, just a new grandkid that's only 2 months old. I've not met her yet because me and my daughter have only just started speaking. She got removed from my care at 12 due to my drug issues and Katie was 5 at the time. There's 9 years between them.
Well, like you say, everything will start somewhere and like I say, that relationship will start to be builded up because you've done the best thing by getting yourself off the drugs and things like that and they will appreciate that. And over time, they will understand that what you've been through is the reason why, unfortunately, they have been in the situation that they have been. But just to reassure you that it, life doesn't end there. People meet their parents 15, 30 years into their life and that's where their best relationships start because you can be the best mum that you possibly can be to them now and you can be the best nana to them grandchildren as well. So just like I say, you've got a lot of things to look forward to. Don't let anything get you down at this moment in time because you have been affected from your younger ages and I can reassure you now, I know no money will take away what you've had to deal with whatsoever, but that will give you some sort of guidelines to get yourself on track, get a little holiday booked, get your things going, get things started.
I've never been on holiday for a live with a family. I've never been on holiday for a live with that family. At 17, we went to Mallorca the year before I went to Yugoslavia. And with the home, we went to France, and with the school, I went to France, but actual proper family holidays, because that's the reason I left the home, because I wanted to know what it was like to live in a normal family before
I went
to the world myself, you know what I mean? I wanted to see what it was like to
definitely.
But clearly it wasn't long enough because I didn't hate, I was able to look after, although I had a drug problem, right? My kid's actually seen as taking drugs, right? I'll admit that, and social work and all that, know about that, right? But it was my daughter at 12. She came home from school. We'd had been bickering for a couple of days. And then this day, she came home from school and says, "Mum, could I get a shot at your phone?" And I was like, "Eh, there you go, handed her it, no thinking, nothing, no what?" She said, "I'll make a phone to Auntie Shirley." And I just thought she was wanting to speak to her auntie. And then she stood in front of us and done it and says to her, "Auntie Shirley, can I come and live with you?" And straight away on the other end of the phone, without any questions asked, she said, "Yeah." Without even knowing anything. She didn't know nothing, what was going on or anything. Whether she was maybe told before that by Danielle, I don't know. Maybe Danielle had already said to her, "Look, here's what's going on."
And you're the adult in that situation as well.
But Shirley, being my sister-in-law, Graham's missus, Graham who you've spoke to, his missus, so it was him and his missus that took my daughter off me, without even asking me, she should have then says to Danielle, "Put your mum on the phone, and I'll speak to your mum." And I would have told her what was going on. I have been bickering for a couple of days, but it's fine. Ken, we'll come at it ourselves. But no. So the following day, Danielle's went into school. So like I say, I didn't speak to Shirley. So Danielle's got in her head, right, I'm going to side with Martin and Shirley. So the following day, she went into school. Yeah. A few months before that, I'd actually done a totally neglectful thing. I was away to lose my methadone. I was on methadone at the time. I was away to lose my script. But I needed a clean sample, and I used Danielle's sample after to pee in a bottle for us. So she knew about that pay about 4 or 5 months before that. So the next day when she went into school, she told the school, told her teacher, who then spoke to the headmaster. Then she was at the class, obviously, in the headmaster's office, and then they phoned social work came, he gets a phone call, Danielle be coming home to school today, and she'll be just coming home to pick up her stuff. So she came home, packed a suitcase for herself, didn't even speak to me, didn't say a word, and went outside and sat in the garden and waited on Shirley come to pick her up. No conversation between me, Shirley, nothing.
Nobody even to see if you're okay or even explain it to you or even try and give you some sort of help and get you out of the situation that you're
nothing.
On.
Nothing.
Again, because people are only happy to obviously to guide you once you're down there. But like I say now, the only person that's got yourself out of that rut is yourself. And that's because you know that you're
took
out
of
a
lot of years.
Than
and I have explained all this to Danielle about my health visa situation because of
this conversation with myself, have you ever tried to turn away from what you've done? You've admitted everything that you've done on this conversation with me. You've not tried to beat around the bush or tried to butter it up. You've been straight to the point. And that's all that the children can ask from you. That's all that they can ask from you. Explain to them like you have done. And like I say, unfortunately, you're not going to sit down and you've probably not sat down and explained to your children everything that you've dealt with. And that's no excuse. But
no,
if they had 5 minutes listening to this conversation, they would understand a little bit of what you've had to deal with and why your life has gone the way it has.
Exactly. And
now, just
also
want to reassure
why
you are in a lot of position than a lot of people.
And
it's not the case
the
that
love
you've not
is
cared for them.
Could.
Unfortunately, back then, you're probably trying to block out everything that you've been with. And if that was the way you had to do it with drugs, you had to do that then. And it's not the case if you're not loving your children and you're not love putting your children first. Sometimes addictions
going on
and things that you
brain.
Have dealt with, there's too much going on. Exactly. Exactly that. You can't control your brain sometimes. Your brain controls you. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But I can reassure you that we are here to help you. So don't ever feel like you're left on your own or you've got nobody that you can speak to because you can't send me a message over at any time, like I said.
One of the main issues as well is I didn't receive much love because when I was at home, if I were at the bed, I got the slipper, which was almost on a nightly basis. I'd be hauled at my bed by my dad and either belted or slippered for wetting the bed. So that was probably the reason I did wet the bed for all those years, but also due to abandonment issues by my mum, my dad was left to care for us. He couldn't cope with 5 children, so that's how we got put into care. It was on a voluntary basis to start with, and then the home, after a couple of years, had went for parental rights, you know, and they got them through the courts, and I barely got to see my dad, even when I was in care, until I was about 12, 13, before I got to go to my dad's and see him every fortnight. I'd go to his one fortnight and my gran's the other fortnight, which was my mum's mum. So I got to see that side of the family who went on a Sunday. They all went for their Sunday dinner usually, so I'd get to see most of them. But that was it. It was for so many hours on a Sunday. And then I wouldn't see him for another fortnight. Half of them, well, all of the family that did go on a Sunday, all emigrated to Canada, apart from one family. One uncle and auntie didn't go. The rest of them all emigrated to Canada, you know, through over a few year period. But, so a lot of abandonment issues all around, really, yeah. And then no getting to see my dad. My dad had come to the home to want to see when we were young. Ken at the old Carolina as well. Because I say old Carolina because it was on the Vlotty Ferry Road, but they moved buildings. They moved to an ultra-modern building. We've all had bedrooms that were only two to a room or single bedrooms had a sink in them that had modern washing machines, modern kitchen. Ken, that happened when I was about 11. 10 or 11 we moved to the new building. And like I say, it was a lot more modern, eh? My oldest brother was in there when it was called a different name. It used to be called a place, it was called Harn House before Carolina moved in, you know.
Oh my God.
My oldest brother
was
in
there. Well, what I've done for you is I've just sent you an email over. Well, it should have come over within the last 5 minutes. If you can just check on your email for me, or even still go on your text messages on your phone, because on your text message, you would have had a message come through from Zoho side.
I've got a legal from MMA Legal Limited request you to find that address. That's on the email.
We need you to just authorise that you're happy for us to request your documents, you see. So if you click on that, it should say sign document for me, or print
document. Digital signature request, but under it has got start signing. Well, start signing then, yeah. The red one, yeah.
Yep,
start signing, that'll be it. Let's just load in. Document info. Just given,
and then it should say
your name, organisation, the date. Proceed. Load in.
Yes, please.
Oh, look at this wee muscle woman. She's got a playpen. It's a light thing that folds up, you know, in a small bag.
What did you call her?
Suki.
What did you call her?
Suki, because she is a little
Suki. Suki. That is so cute. That is really cute. I remember there's a programme on television called Gilmore Girls, and there's a girl on that called Suki as well. I like the name.
I used to watch Gilmore Girls. Was there a girl on that called Suki? Was that? I didn't mind that.
Yeah, do you know the girl in the hotel? The one, the cook, the chunky girl who cooks in the
it's
hotel.
It's been years before I watched it. Right.
Yeah, I love that. Me and my mum always watch it all the time.
It's got client park redress 25%, so it's only 6 or 17 pages to go in this agreement.
So in the top corner, there should be a box of a black box of a little red star next to it, and when you should click on it, it should say
signature.
Client.
Signature?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, if you click on that box for me.
It's got signatures here, but none of them's mine.
Yep, so it won't look like your signature. It'll already type it in for you. Can you print one of them boxes for me?
No, it's got signature, right, and it's got printed name, Lisa Jane Park, right, and then it's got initial LJP. And under it's got three thingies of signatures.
That's automatically doing it for you. So if you press one of them for me, just press one of them, and then it should say... Underneath it, there'll be a little tick box that says, I acknowledge,
yeah, done that, and then OK.
And then you press OK.
Yeah.
And let me just see if that comes up.
I could have done my signature. It gave me the option to write it.
Yeah, sometimes it'll give you the option to write it yourself, but some people struggle with that, so we automatically do it for you.
Just do it for you. So you've signed this document.
So that's everything.
And it's got email to me,
print
or download. Do I just come out of that?
Yeah, that's everything that's
or
done on that behalf.
Or do email
that's
it to myself? Well, I'm no better emailing
you
that to myself, so I've got it on record.
You can email it to you, but you've already got it there anyway. But just email yourself a copy just to be on the safe side so it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, document has been emailed. Yeah, that's perfect. So just come press the button out
of
it.
Yeah, perfect, that's everything. Now, what I am also going to do for you is I'm going to bob you a message over on WhatsApp. Now, that's my personal work mobile, as I've already explained to you.
The one you're using.
Whatsoever. Yeah, you just bob me a message over at any time, and then that way you will come straight through to me. Now, what I do need from you is a picture of your driver's licence or passport, any ID, even if it's a
passport. I've not got that. The only thing I've got is... you know the national entitlement bus pass with my photo on it.
That's fine. That's perfect. If you could send me a picture over of that, please, Lisa.
Where's the handbag? I had to move everything yesterday. Because in all of that, I've got to get work done, insulation done on my flat. I can't stay here while the work's getting done. But I didn't get told that until yesterday, till they were away to start.
And didn't they put you in a hotel? They should have put you in a hotel whilst they was doing that.
Exactly, but no, there's no... I mean, I spoke to my landlord. These people just appeared. Ken, although it was arranged, but I didn't discuss anything with my landlord. Only found out to the men that was away to start yesterday because I wasn't prepared. Behind the flu at the weekend, I didn't have the strength to do anything in the house here. Because I got this wee in to look after as well, so she was taking up what energy I did have, you know. So when they appeared yesterday, they says to us, you even look out, and I couldn't hardly get a breath. I was struggling because, let's say, I've got COPD, I'm on inhalers
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, breathe as well.
And the guy says
to us,
you're too ill, he says, we can't start now, he says, you're too ill. He says, you can't even be here. He says, are you not doing one room at a time, because it's only my living room, my bedroom, they have to do all the outer walls, you know. And so I says, you're not able to do the living room, I'll stay in the bedroom and then we'll swap places. Once you do the bedroom, I'll come to the living room. He says, no, he says, we need to do the two jobs together. As I was three guys, three men were here, and they says, we need to do it together, it's all one job. They says, ideally, you shouldn't even be in the house, he says, because the amount of dust that's going to throw up, he says, and you
can't come off that, yeah.
COPD, he says, you can't be here. So, I've got my wee brother's flat, he's willing to let us go and live there for a couple of days, because he's staying with his fiancée, because she's got epilepsy, so he's got to stay with her to look after her. So, and now I know I've got a week to get some place, take the dog with us, take everything I need, blah, 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 and it's just
that's
ridiculous.
Just a very
and that's
long process,
be phoning, and I'm not phoning my landlord today and say, look, how did you not even tell me what this job entails? Because he's about to know what it entails. You know what I mean? He's the one paying for it. He's about to know the process. So he's about to know that I shouldn't be living here. He's about to know I shouldn't be living here while the work's getting done, but then he doesn't know about the dog.
And not only that, you shouldn't be asking to pay him the rent for the week when you're not living there for the week and you're having to find somewhere else to live.
Yeah, well, it only takes 2.5 days, according to the MA, to do the job. So,
well, if it was the other way around, then they'd be adding an extra 2.5 days on top of the rent, wouldn't they? So let them know that you have to pay somebody to live at their property for the next few days, and you want reimbursing for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Well, the rent goes for the
and
benefit
not only that,
agency,
make them
you
aware,
know.
You've not been able to use your, you've not been able to cook at home and things like that, so you've had to have been spending your own money to eat out. And of course, it's been too cost-worthy for you. So just explain that to them. I can write you something up to send to them. That's not a problem. I can send you that over on WhatsApp just to give you a bit of a guideline. That's not a problem whatsoever. So if there's anything you need help with, you just give me a message at any time and I'll advise you the best way I possibly can, okay?
I will do. But this picture, do you need me to send it now to you on WhatsApp?
Yes, please. So we need a picture of your bus pass and we need a picture of a letter. It can be any letter that's dated to you in the last 3 months. It just needs to have your address on there. So when we send a check out to you, we can confirm the address that you've sent.
So the letter could be like a council letter.
Perfect. Council's perfect.
Right, I'm trying to get this picture so you could see it and it's no blurry on the writing.
No problem.
Yeah, I'll just check that you're able to enlarge. Yeah. That's sent to you now. The picture of the bus pass. And then a letter should be just here. No, that. Yeah, keep all my letters there. It's just finding the right one. Would the bank statement letter be fine?
It'll be fine. You can cover up your important pieces of information. Don't worry.
Or is it better being...
any letter.
Oh,
funnily enough... the bank statement's perfect as well.
Funnily enough, that's the DPC trying to phone us now. But later, a week and a half later, after the initial
response. Do you want me to let you go and answer the phone to them?
No, no, because I'll just phone back.
Do you want me to let you go and answer the phone to them?
No, I'll phone them back. I'll just say, look, I was on another call, a very important call. Wasn't able to take the call. Somebody tried to phone us, and they should surely know who's trying to phone us, you know? Right, I'm not bothered
about you. Is there anything that they're trying to mess you around with?
Yeah, I'm not bothered about
you. All right, then, no problem. Well, I'll cross it anyway,
don't worry. I'm just trying to get this thingy, the WhatsApp for you to take the picture. No, what I'll do is I'll take a picture on just ordinary camera, because that's a bit, I'm no very good on phones, eh?
Yeah, and then...
I'm trying to copy and paste, or I don't even care how to copy and paste anything. So I'm not caring about exactly what you see on it. The amounts or anything like that, no bother, just as long as the name and address is clear to you. I'll double check that we could go and enlarge that so you see the finer details. It's paid you in last year, the statement, anyway. Is that too old?
I could give you
a closer one. It's just finding...
Yeah, we need one that's the last 3 months.
Last 3 months, right, that's no problem. That was in the wrong pile. I got one that I just got, and I just kind of think of where to put it. I need piles when
I was... Even if it's from your local bingo, as long as it's got your name, address, and the date on there, that's not a problem.
You can't even read the bingo. I've never been to bingo. Well, sorry, tell a lie. I've been two times that I remember. I went years ago, my mum came back up to Dundee temporary when I was about 14. She stayed about a month. And she took us to the bingo. And I won the very first time I've ever won in the bingo. I won, what was it? It was a line split three ways or something. I ended up with a couple of pounds or something, eh? But it's the only time I've ever won at the bingo. I went once again after that and we didn't win. But yeah, thingy dissociated.
I'm the same. I've never won. I went with my mother-in-law last year in the summer and I didn't shout bingo when I hit the numbers, so I didn't get the money. I didn't know you had to do that. I thought you'd still get it if you didn't shout bingo.
Right, this is the current bank statements, the latest one I got, November 17th.
Perfect, that's amazing. That's not a problem, Lisa. Thank you so much for that. Now, what I want to let you know is I do appreciate your time today and you giving me as much information as you possibly can. I understand it's very hard for you to relive this topic of conversation. I can promise you I'm going to get your case submitted off for you right away now. So if there's any questions you've got, please give me a call or drop me a message. And if there's anything else I can help you with over the next few days or even weeks, whether it's regarding this, regarding how they're treating you with your house at home and all the dust, bob me a message over and I'll guide you the best way I possibly can. I do say
yeah, that's
so.
Appreciated.
I am more than happy to advise you how to go around it with them people. All right, darling.
Yeah, so what are you actually, what are you qualified in?
So I'm not the solicitor. Basically, what I do is I do the calls for the solicitor. So I take the call, I take all the information. What will happen now is I will forward this case to the solicitor directly. I work for the solicitor. He's called Matthew Bell.
Right.
I'll pass your case over to him. I'll let him know it's urgent. I'll let him know you're a sibling of somebody else who's submitted a case for. And what he will do is he will go away straight away and he will request your records. As soon as he's got your records, we'll also look at the places that you've been. They'll build the case up and get a value of your claim. Now, he will be in contact with you, which is Matthew Bell, but if you are unsure on who you're speaking to, just say, 1 minute, phone me back, pop me a message over, and I'll let you know whether it's the right people you're speaking to or not, okay?
Yes,
the solicitor will always know who I am, so just say, is it free billing?
Give me the name, what was it, Matthew Bell?
Yes, yeah, so he's the solicitor, and the solicitor
It's just him writing it down on a bit of paper, just so I know. You know who's going to phone me?
Write my name down as well then, which my name is Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E.
B-I-L-L-I-E, yeah. Done.
And the solicitor's company name is MMA Legal. So the solicitor's company name is MMA Legal.
Yeah. MMA Legal. Yeah, because I've written it down on the same bit of paper, Ken, that I've got your name, his name, and the part that's soliciting that. It's just so I could keep it close to hand, but if I do get any phone calls, and I'm just wondering, I've got that right in front of us, just look quickly and know whether it's a proper call or not, you know.
No problem. Well, anything you need, you bob me a message over. For any reason we need you and there's no way I can get hold of you, I will pop you a message as well, just so you've got it there in a message too. And I do appreciate your time today, Lisa, okay?
I will say to you, you're better doing it in text as opposed to email, because there's going to keep up with the emails. Because I get that many in the
A lot of times, as I say, I never work with my emails as well.
So I very rarely go
on. Well,
I've
noticed on your file now that it's cooperate with text message, other than that, it's phone calls.
Yeah.
We don't really listen to you and look at emails, which we don't really send emails anyway unless it's to get you to sign your documents, because we know nobody
okay.
wants them anyway, so don't
yeah.
worry.
That's fine. That's good.
All right, then, darling. Well, thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll be
You know what?
Back,
I'm
okay?
actually glad you've really put me at ease, because I was expecting to be this call to be one of the most emotional I'm have to deal with, you know, explaining everything, but the
Which
way you've
the
asked case? The questions, what? I've not got myself upset. You know, I do feel
Which
I could
I don't
cry
like to
at any minute,
because...
but I've been stopping myself. Because Ed actually started
Which
the process
I can't hear that in your
a few
voice.
Months ago. Ed started the process a few months ago. It'd been on Facebook, loads of different adverts all for the same type of thing. Had you been in care? You know how on Facebook you get people you may know and they have a list going along the way mm-hmm. and you just scroll along to see if there's people you know to add them as friends.
Yeah.
Well, it was like that. And it was all adverts about have you been in care? Have you been in, had lists of homes, had lists of listees, borstals, places like that, and Carolina House was never mentioned on any of them, but I clicked on one anyway. Oh, this is her in a bit of ornaments, hear that crashing, she's already broke the crystal ornament, it's a wee perfume bottle with a stopper, she's broke the stopper off, but she's trying to get to an old plant I've got in the corner. It's pure dead. I just need to throw it out. I've just not got room to it yet. She's climbing in about that outside to the fireplace. And it's a marble fireplace, and they've got glass ornaments on it, so it doesn't bode well. I think that's how she's managed to break the stopper.
Yeah.
Lucky it was me
you.
That got that, and it wasn't Uncle Derek's, because my brother passed away just over 2 years ago, 3rd of December, 2 years ago.
Sorry
and,
to hear that.
I got ornaments from his house that his daughter I thought would have took, but didn't. So I've grabbed them crystal ornaments to sit, because I've got Ed one or two crystal ornaments of my own, so I thought they'll sit nice with mine, and I took them because I wasn't wanting them to go in the bin, you know. She took what
well,
she
definitely,
took.
Definitely, and that's nice for you to remember your brother as well.
Yeah, and she left personal things, like she got him a cup done with his name and everything on it. Then, and, Saying best grandad sort of thing, and actually his full name, well, his slang name, Deck, his name's Derek, Deck, Tarbert and everything, greatest grandad sort of thing. She didn't even want that. And she's the one that got it
no,
for
I'm
her
No, I'm totally
kid.
Different. I can't leave anything. I'll take absolutely
no,
everything that I possibly can.
That's how my house is so cluttered. That's how this flat's part to me. I've done not any cupboard
yes,
storage
same.
Space. The only cupboard I've got is a wardrobe where all my clothes need to go in. And there's not even enough space in there. The top shelf's going to collapse. It's
I'm
got
exactly
the rail.
The
rail's
I'm
totally
exactly
bent. If I put any more on it, it's damned.
Yes,
it's going to collapse. And need it sorted. Because my bed's
exactly
got a pile of clothes
that.
Piled
same
on
same
it. I've no space. I've got my trainers in the living room all stacked up. Because
yeah,
I've
same
got,
mine in my spare bedroom are the same.
I got a backdated, when was that? October, £4,000. So I thought I'll treat myself. I was out buying myself loads of trainers and stuff. Hey, I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pairs of trainers, couple of pair of boots, like cosy bits for wearing. I got them all new. I barely go out to use them, so I don't know when I'm going to use them. I'm paying £120 for trainers and everything. A couple of pairs we got, one at £165, one at £120, and then we've only had them on one time each. And I've had them for a wee while now.
At least they'll stay fresh for the summer when you're going on your little dog walks in the summer.
Well, see, I would use my older ones for doing the dog walks, but I've got cheaper new ones that I would use for the dog walking, you know. I ended up buying a pair online and everything, was double charged for them, conduit and money, but on a site called Whatnot. Oh. It's an auction site. Things start at £1. And Ed got them up to 30 for
and
the trainer. Because when you go onto the site, they want your details straight away, bank details, for if you do buy anything, so you could pay for it straight away during the auction. But they took it over double what they were supposed to take out. So suffice to say, I've never been back on that site to buy anything, because they sent us other stuff that I bid for, but didn't win. But they still sent us the stuff anyway and charged us for it. Stupid things like £4 each for these wee plastic earrings they took. Sent us two of them we didn't ask for. I tried to bid on these fancy deodorant things of like rip-offs of real, like millions and stuff. It's like rip-offs of them, but and a deodorant spray and a wee roll-on aftershave. You know, a wee thing a woman would put in her bag for a roll-on perfume.
What you should do moving forward is there's a thing online called Ask ChatGPT, and if you go on that, just put the website in on there and just say, is this legit website? And that ChatGPT will let you know if it's 100% legit or not, and then you know whether you can use them anymore. So write that on the piece of paper. That's the same with anyone that contacts you as well.
So what does that, how do you spell that?
So you just go on Google and you type in ask, which is A-S-K.
Yeah.
And it's chat, C-H-A-T, chat.
Oh, chat, right, yeah.
And then it's G-B-T, which is Golf Bravo Tango.
Right, and that gives you all the sites. And it'll tell you whether it's legit or things like that, because it's been scammed a few times online.
Even if you're a bit unsure and you want to know how to cook something or how to use something or even a question about your new dog, ask that a question and it will give you the best answer that you can possibly get, straightforward as well. If you need any numbers, if you need any help, always ask that a question. You can ask it any question you want and it will give you the best answer you will possibly get, okay?
Oh, I've never heard of that before. That's a brilliant idea, yeah.
And it's free as well.
Uh-huh. Just search on the Google bar. The Google search bar, yeah?
Yeah, exactly, correct. Yeah, it's like Google, but on steroids. It's thousands times better.
Well, that's brilliant, because I use Google quite a lot, for certain things, Ken, for looking up stuff, bits of information and that, I use Google quite a lot. I actually swear by it. But if this is even better, you swear by this.
And people can pay to be at the top of Google and things like that now, so you never get a legit answer, but with the ChatGPT, you'll get the answers you need.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's a brilliant piece of advice. Thank you for that. That'll really help me. Because, like I say, I get conned all the time. I actually had to cancel my bank card last week because PayPal were trying to rob us. I was trying to sign up to PayPal, but they were tapping money.
Cancel your bank card.
It's cancelled now.
And order a new one. Perfect. That's the best way. Now,
but the only thing is,
I'm going to send off your case right now.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I said I'm going to send off your case through my phone. Oh, sorry. You finished an NLP.
No problem. Yes, sir. I was just going to say that I'm going to send off your case now. So I will submit that. And like I say, it'll be anything up to 8 months from today. But I can reassure you, it most likely will not take that length of amount of time. And never remove my number from WhatsApp. Just look at me as your new friend now. Billy, of course.
Uh-huh.
So if there's anything you need, you just bob me a message over, darling, okay?
I will do. That's appreciated. Thank you.
Problem.
I'm just glad I finally got the call out the way now, because like I say, I was thinking about for months saying, just never, well, I've actually been thinking about it for years, because my oldest brother done it.
Which?
David, my oldest brother. because she had just got 235,000 for his case.
Well, I can reassure you we'll go for the top end of
that. I know,
I know it
wouldn't be anything near that because he was physically abused. Don't know about the sexual abuse, but I know he was certainly physically abused in homes and stuff.
You were sexually abused as well, and each case is different. Each case is different. It doesn't matter what...
case lasted a couple
each
of years
case.
As well. 3 years or something it took to start to finish.
Yes, just because the process was a little bit longer back then because they'd never actually proven it. Now, for the fact that your brother's being paid out, you've got to look at it this way. I could speak to 10 people a day who's been in Carolina House, and they're all giving the same statements to the same people that's affected them, so they have each leg to stand on. That's why we don't need to clutch at straws. We've got enough evidence to get this. It's just requesting your files. So I'm going to get that put onto the portal now. I'm going to get that submitted over. I will drop you a message at the end of the week just to see how you're getting on and just see how you're actually being just with yourself, just to make sure that you are okay. But in the meantime, if you need anything, you message me on WhatsApp. All right, darling.
I will do. That's brilliant. Thanks very much for all your help.
All right, Lisa. Well, I'll let you know. I'll get
my mind
now.
I'll just put that in my mind now, not even think
put
about
it. Put it out of your
it.
Mind, and then I'll give you a call, and I'll give the ones to update you. Okay, darling?
That's great. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it for
all
your
right,
patience.
Lisa. No problem.
Because I know I've
took
you off track a few times. I know I've wandered, been sidetracked quite easily. But
don't
that's
worry.
What happens.
I've heard them isn't conversations. It makes my day go faster anyway.
What it is I don't see many people. Eh? I'm a bit of a loner. I only speak to my little brother, William. We've all been in care. My whole family's been in care. Every one of us, there's 8 of us, and we've all been in care.
Well, if you do speak to anybody else and they've not proceeded with anything, feel free to drop me a message on WhatsApp with their contact number, and I can give them a call the same way I have done with you today, darling, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll speak to...
No
like
problem.
My wee brother and my brother Tommy as well.
Like, I'll keep you all on the same file, just so you're all together, and then that way you know you're the same company's dealing with it all for you, and that way you know that if you need anything, you just get hold of Billy, really, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that. That's brilliant. Thank you. I'll certainly pass the message along to my siblings, and if they want to take it up, they want to take it up. If they don't,
they
don't. But I'm sure
if
they all know that they could end up where we lump sum in maybe a year or so time, possibly sooner, but we'll go away a year, we'll call it a year. I'll say to them, look, you could have a wee lump sum within a year or so.
Yeah. And there's nothing to lose because you don't lose anything if not. You don't lose anything
it's
at
not,
all or pay for
it. It's not a thing that could have a time limit on it. You know, I know you've got to get back, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. I know it's a long process, so I'll be saying that to them as well.
The only part about it will be is getting the records because, as you can imagine, there's hundreds and thousands of people making claims now, so it's requesting all their records from the government. That's the longest part about it. So as soon as we've got the records, then we can do our job. The sooner we submit this case off, the sooner we get the records. So I'll go ahead and submit it for you right now.
There's actually a question.
Right.
Will you get my full records of my whole life, basically, as long as I was involved with social work, yeah? Because I've actually never seen the records myself. Because I thought, because Caroline had closed and everything, and we had been a charity, I wasn't sure of the records would be kept or what. I would actually like to see my file.
No, I'll have to. So what I can do is I can leave a note of that on the system for you and for the solicitor and just say that she would like to see her files once they're requested, because another customer that I have spoken to has asked the same thing and he said that's not an issue. As soon as he has got them, you can send them out in a paper copy. So that wouldn't be an issue. I will update that now onto your claim form for you and request that, okay?
Because I only know snippets about how my mum was treated. I know she was abused by my dad. They were both alcoholics, so I could imagine as being a bit on both sides. But I know we were clearly neglected.
Well, you just understand what's going on with your life. You want to know your life story, of course.
I just want to know what happened with my mum and dad, the reasons why we ended up in care. I knew it was because my mum had buggered off to London. I do understand that, but before that, I don't know. I do remember my mum having a stookie on her leg, and I was told by my cousin just three weeks ago that the reason she had the stookie on her leg is, she said, because my dad had battered her black and blue and broke her leg. And my cousin, who spoke to his ages with me, she was in the house. She remembers it clear as day, seeing my dad beat my mum up. And she was only ages of me, so that was only about, she was about 4 or 5, same as me. And she remembers that, and that was something I didn't even, I knew my mum had a broken leg, but I didn't know why. You know, I just remember her having a stookie on her leg, but I didn't have any other memories.
I'll go ahead and I'll write that down on your claim form now that you would like to request that. I'll get that popped in there on Catherine's too. And I will make that as a private email to the solicitor himself as well. Let me just get that on here for you.
Yeah, and it would just be to find out why she left all 5 kids. You know what I mean? Because she left us for years. We all got separated and everything. We all grew up different. I actually didn't even know my brothers properly, if you know what I mean. Graham, who you spoke to, I actually didn't know him. Same with Eric, who passed. I knew him as an adult. I didn't know him as a kid. Same with Chico, my oldest brother, that's David. They've all got slang names. Graham's nickname's actually Chinky, who he's known as. David's actually Chico, who he's known as. And so that's the names that I use. But they three, Derek, three oldest brothers, because we didn't grow up in the homes together, we didn't know one another, you know, as adults. And then we lead separate lives as adults, obviously, you know. They had children, they had their own families. So we didn't, we seen one another throughout the years, but didn't actually know one another. You know what?
Fortunately, yeah, like, didn't realise that you could even go to cry for help to them and say, you're my brother, can you help me? You didn't feel comfortable to do that because they kept you secluded as well and separated you. Knowing that five siblings have come from a broken home, they could have done their very best to keep you together within them care homes and not in different departments and things like that, but they didn't. And that, again, is abuse.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and send this off right away. I do have a case booked in for you right now. So what I've done is I've just noted on the actual claim form and to the solicitor itself that you would like a copy of your records, just so you can understand what you've been through throughout your life. You want to know about a bit about your mum as well, and also you would like to have an understanding of why you was actually placed in care. Now, I have noted that both of them, so as soon as they've got them records, I will make sure that they submit them out to you, darling, okay?
Yeah, I'd really appreciate that, because I've often wanted to ask over the years, but I didn't know who to ask for them. With the home closing down and stuff, I thought, where's everything gone? You know, because it wasn't
Even though it's the care homes that was neglecting you, it was the government that's actually getting fined. It's the government that was allowing them to do it. The government was covering things up. The longer they kept you in care, the more money they was getting funded from the government. It was all an ongoing thing. And therefore, that's why we can submit the case as well. So it's the government that's now going to have to pay out because they've done the neglect on you. They should have made sure that you as well looked after within these care homes. These care homes was giving you the right support, making sure you was given the correct things and you was placed in the correct places with the correct people. And unfortunately, it seems to me like it was just an ongoing place for them to neglect people as much as they possibly could. Now, I can reassure you this case has been submitted right now. If there's anything you need from me, you give me a call.
I've got your
details. Anytime. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I'll look forward to speaking to you. If you speak to anybody and they want a contact from me, just drop me their number over on a message. But I will give you a call. I'll drop you a message on Friday, actually, just to see how you're getting on. And I'll have a little conversation with you before the weekend on my lunch break on Friday. All right, darling?
That's fine. Yeah, that's appreciated.
No problem.
Thank you.
Will you enjoy the rest of your day?
Yeah, well, I can now that that's actually done with, because it's been at the back of my mind, like I say, for a couple of years now to do it. And I've just, it's having that initial call is what I didn't want to do.
Ongoing.
I was so worried about the initial fall, and now that that's done, I feel so much lighter. So I'm going to find it. And be able to tell my daughter why you couldn't show her the love and affection that she deserved, you know? Because there's an
age. Which, again, I understand that. But I feel like you have to tell her right now. You tell her in your own time whenever you feel up to it. Take each day as it comes. You've got to remember, you've gone from being intoxicated daily and being out of control of your own mind to walking totally away from that. You're clean now. You've got a job there. You've got your children that are willing to have conversations with you. So you know now you're in a better position than what you was a few years ago. And the only way is up from here. You've got this time next year, you'll have a bit of money in your back pocket from this claim. You'll have a healthy relationship with your daughter, should I say, and hopefully your son too. And
yeah.
Your grandchildren. And with your dog. So don't worry. The son's not ready to talk at all.
He's not ready. He's 22, but he's not lived and done either. He lived in Glasgow.
You may not be ready, but one day you will be. And like I say, take each day as it comes. You're doing your very best, and that's all you can do. If you know you're doing your best, and if that may not be enough right now, one day it will be. But as long as you know you're doing your very best, that's all that matters. But anything
that's
you need, anytime, you bring me a message over. If you're feeling a bit low, and I'd be more than happy to have a conversation. Do not worry. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is. I'm in the office from 9 till 6 o'clock every evening. Okay, darling?
That's brilliant. Because I didn't hear anybody like that who could phone. No, so as a
anytime, patient. Do not worry. Do not worry. Drop me a message. You'll say, Billy, I'm having a bit of a moment. I'll say, okay. I'll take my work phone out of the office and we'll have a quick discussion. All right, darling?
Yeah, but if you are busy, though, do tell us and I could phone back when you are free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Lisa, give me 5 minutes. I'm just finishing a call. I'll call you straight back, and then we'll go from there, darling. Okay?
That's great. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem whatsoever. So anything you need, you pop me a message. I'll give you a call on Friday, and we're going to get this case submitted now so you can put it to the back of your mind now, darling. Okay?
Yeah, I will do. That's brilliant.
No problem.
I know I've kept you long. I know how long was the call meant to last? About an hour. And how long? I can't even see the time because of my eyes.
I can't either, but don't worry. It does not matter. It is what it is. It takes as long as it needs to be. It takes 10 hours. It takes 10 hours. And as long as we've got the case submitted for you, that's all that matters. Okay?
Yeah. Right, Billy. I'll let you go this time because I've been dragging on.
And I'll speak with you on Friday. All right, darling. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.